You know us so beautifully. You know everything about us. You care about us. You love us. You enjoy us. You are our papa. You are our daddy. You are our father. You are the one that's given us life. You are the sustainer. You are our provider. You are our protector. You are the great I am. You are everything, Lord. We yield ourselves to you right now. Even more and more and more in this tender moment. Just yielding ourselves to know your love, to receive your heart, to receive your Father's love, to receive your heart of affection, to receive your heart of approval, to receive your heart of enjoyment. Thank you, Lord, as you sing over us, you enjoy us, you love everything about us. Thank you that your love is better than wine. Thank you, Lord, that you are the sustainer and the releaser of life in our hearts. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we share the same blood. Thank you that we're in the same family. Thank you that we have the privilege of calling you Abba, Papa, Daddy. We love you so much, and we are determined to be your lovers as you have determined them before the foundations of the world. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your great sustaining love. Thank you, Lord, that on this Father's Day, no matter what our Father has been like, is like, Father, each one of us came from an earthly father and mother. But Father, we thank you that in this time, in this spiritual time, in this emotionally charged time, spiritually, Lord, that we can reach up and say, Daddy, we belong to you. Thank you, Lord, that even in the face of the most perfect family or imperfect family here on this earth, that you can invade those deep places in our hearts that long for you. Long for you to be able to trust you and love you and say, you are everything to me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that privilege. Thank you for that honor. Thank you, Lord. We just celebrate you today, Papa, on this Father's Day. We thank you for all the fathers here. We thank you, Lord, that you have designed us, male and female, to come together with the mother-father heart of God to be able to love you and express your love to each other, to receive and express it in fullness. Thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your healing virtue, your healing touch of our hearts. Thank you that we're designed to love. We're designed to understand that true love. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Papa. Now just receive that wave of his heart right now. Thank you. If everyone can be seated except the ones who are fathers in this house, if you have been a father, just stand if you would. We just want to celebrate you and celebrate the goodness of God. Isn't it interesting that I, as a female, have the love, the privilege, and the desire to honor all you men, you wonderful men, fathers in this house? God's plan, God's design for you. Lives, and I think we have something. Do we have something like that?
Yeah, they got it when they came in.
They got it when they walked in. Oh, good. Everybody has that blessing. Is there anybody who did not receive a blessing, an extra blessing, when you walked in? Any of the guys? Three guys in the back who were here before that blessing. So Carly will get that, or someone. Yeah. Somebody running in the back.
Carly.
Okay. So thank God for your lives. We just appreciate you. Can be seated. I just appreciate you on this Father's Day. I am so blessed that my 90-year-old dad still on this earth. Oh, so amazed. Yes, I'm so blessed. So I called him on the way over, and he had kind of a hard time last night and a little bit tough time this morning. And I said, Dad, do you need me? He says, no, I know I'm okay. I said, I want to pray for you right now. He goes, you go for it. So I did. You know, I prayed this prayer for him really strong in my heart. And he goes, that was a good one. I buy that one. If I could buy a prayer, I'd buy that one. I'm just joking. Yeah. Because that was a good one. I said, well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'll see you later. So, just so blessed to have. Oh, look at this. Goodies for the guys. I love it. It's so good. And I just want to honor the a very precious man in my life, and and my sons that are scattered. One of my sons is here, Josh. My other son, Joey, just moved to Florida this week. So that's a bittersweet, happy Father's Day away. And my other son, Jeff, is out in Arizona, and I honor you guys so much. I love you all, and my husband. We just give it up for my beloved best friend and husband. Little men of God being raised up in our family line, so we're just really blessed. And our son Mike is not here, and just bless him too, who has a broken foot right now. And we know that God's going to touch that and has been touching that and is healing that, so we're believing for that. He's a great dad, and so are my other sons. So I'm just, and Josh is here, my other son Josh, who is somewhere. Where are you, Josh? There he is. So we're just really blessed with males in our family. And we're just grateful. And I thank God for this man of God. Yeah. And some of you may not have your earthly father here or around, or maybe not even so many great feelings for your earthly dad. Maybe they're mixed. You know, maybe they're just a culmination of things going on. Wherever you are with that, our hearts of love go out to you, and we celebrate your father. Because without him, you would not be here. And your mom, right? We celebrate that place that God has given to them. Oh, look at that. So sweet. And so we know that sometimes this can be a bittersweet time on Father's Day. Maybe there's some feelings that haven't been resolved, or some issues or hurts or something like that, or even some missing, or maybe you had a very attentive dad. Maybe you don't even know your dad. Maybe your dad wasn't around, but irregardless, he knowingly or unknowingly stepped into God's plan for human life, and you are a result of that. Whether that was done in a good way or not good way, you are the result, and you are a gift from God. So you can just pat yourself on the back. Thank you, Dad and Mom. A gift from God. So we just thank God for the lives sitting here, and just trust him that how he wants to do things in all of our lives to solidify relationships, if we're still able to do that, to, if we have someone here on this earth, to restore, to heal, to mend, to connect in. That's the Father heart of God. So we just want to celebrate this wonderful day today. And those of you who will be stepping into greater depths of parenthood, maybe for the first time or more, we just celebrate you as well. Anyone who has lost a child and you are a father, irregardless of whether the child is here on earth or in heaven, we celebrate you as well. We know that there's some painful moments, probably even in our worship time for some of you. I just want to pray a prayer over all of us right now and just say, God, thank you so much that you are our heavenly Papa. You are our Daddy. And we can be sure that you don't miss anything. You know exactly what's going on. Nothing escapes you. And you care for us. You're jealous for us. You love us with an everlasting love. And we can be sure that that love never fails and never changes, and that we can give our whole hearts and our lives to you, trusting you, even with imperfections around us, but trusting you as the giver and the lover of life. We praise you and we celebrate you today in Jesus' name in this house. Amen. Amen. We all say amen to the love of the Father. Amen. That's great. Well, some of the children want to go to Kingdom Land right now, I would think. So parents can move them into a place. That's awesome. Move up here. I lost my stuff. Oh, there it is. Thank you. I was over at my kid's house the other day, and one of my littlest grandson had 8 grandchildren and 7 grandsons. And I'm so blessed. And my littlest one just has turned a year in February. So cute, so adorable. He is one with a different spirit. His name is Caleb, and I love him with all my heart. So I was holding him, and his mama said, you know, Joe said, if he could have someone just hold him all day long for the rest of his life, he'd be happy, or all the time, you know. So we were laughing about that, because I love holding him. And he reached out And he didn't know what he was doing because he's such a lover. And he reached out and he grabbed my earrings, same ones I have on now, and he scratched my face. Never. Just like this non-aggressive child. It's so funny. Scratched my face. And I was like, ooh, wow. So I said, you guys see any blood? So eventually it came up. So I got this little mark. And one of my sons said, oh, just rhetorically, what do you do when a baby does that? Not really asking. And I said, you just hold him closer and love him. You know, you mothers know what that's like. But I look in the mirror and I have this mark. You know, there's a love mark on my face. It's like, oh my goodness, my Caleb loves me so much. He wouldn't hurt me. He wouldn't do anything intentionally. But that's what babies do sometimes. And so it was just really precious. And I've looked at it several times and I thought, you know, there's a parallel here with how you love us. You know, we might kick or scream, and sometimes we might even feel angry at you. We might feel as though, this would be, actually, you know what, Nick, this would be really good today. Yeah, like, for the junior high today. I think this is a good day for love. Thank you. You didn't know that, but thank you for, thank you for that. You can, next week or some other time, but I just think this would be a great big day. What'd you say? All right. Thank you. It just hit me right now. We're going to talk about love today. We're going to talk about the Father, and I think God gets every age. And you amazing junior hires, you have such a capacity that just really want the love of the Father to spill on you, the love of Jesus, the love of the Holy Spirit, which I know could happen in Nikki's class as well, but this might be an impartation time for you as well on top of that. So she can give you the lesson on that email too. So if you want. But I just wanted to tell you that, you know, as I was thinking about today and asking the Lord, Father, how many Father's Days have we had in here? How many times have we talked about the wonderfulness of Father God, the wonderfulness of being in the family of God, and we've heard these things, and we've talked these things through. I mean, all the kids from junior high down, young men and women from junior high down, have heard these things. It's not new information, but it can be new revelation. And this is what we're talking about today, what Holy Spirit wants to impart to us, because he's the one who mediates, offers, imparts the Father's love, the Father's heart, the revelation of Jesus, the bridal understanding of who Jesus Christ is. And so we're going to talk about that today, because real men cry, real men wear combat boots, real men are warriors, but real men are part of the bride of Christ. Real men, meaning those who have received the real love of the Father, they understand that, and they want to grow in that. And the same for we women, us women. And so, as I was thinking about some of this, I realized that I found myself this week, because I was just laying in bed last night, and it was kind of funny, there's this revelation that a couple of scriptures that had just been resonating in my heart, which I preached on many times before, these scriptures were imparted to several, at least three, if not more, people very profoundly, just in completely different circumstances, different situations. And so I thought, oh, Lord, maybe you want me to say something about that. They're just coming up again. So last night, before I went to bed, I just had this urge to go down to my bookshelf, and I just sat there and said, Lord, if there's something you want to show me, go ahead. So I just had, my eyes were drawn to these two books that I have, the same book. So I was in that place of which one should I pick, the ones that's all underlined or not. So apparently I picked the right one, or the one that I thought was going to be helpful. And I opened it to a particular chapter. And the very verse was right there along the side. And it said, basically, you shall love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And I looked at that, and that was exactly what the Lord had been speaking to me about. But what it said in the beginning of this chapter, which I read this book in 2003 and underlined it, looked neat, starred and everything, but it was called The Pleasures of Loving God by Mike Bickle. And I read that in 2003, and it's just a phenomenal. It's a heart, mind-changing book for me, heart-changing book for me a long time ago. And anyway, when I was looking at that and reading that, the title of the chapter that I was going to read or look at last night briefly was going back to the first commandment, or restoring the first commandment. And I read that and I thought, oh, the word commandment, people don't like that word. It sounds like I have to do something. Oh, I have to do something. But that's what the title of it was. And I thought, oh, let me read this again. So I was just laying in bed and just kind of reading through last night, having fun with it. And then I thought, God, you are really wanting to offer a message of love today that may be new for any of us who've received the Father's heart, the Father's love, and also who have maybe never stepped into that before. Irregardless, that's on your heart today. Oh boy, so I get to be the one who will impart with love and fire, hopefully, what it is you want to say. Because our God is not a sing-songy God. He's not a taskmaster. He's not just kind of going, whoa, I didn't even see that one. That was kind of dumb. You know, God is not like that. To know the actual emotional makeup of the Godhead, it's really important. Because we have emotions, don't we? How many do? Unless you're a robot, ingredients should be up, right? So we all have emotions. I guess that's still half of you. Let's try that again. We all have emotions, okay. All right. But to know the emotional makeup of the Godhead, and the Godhead would be Father, Son, Holy Spirit. To understand that emotional makeup is really going to help us. It's going to help all you junior hires to understand that God understands and knows our feelings. It's like, yoo-hoo! But that doesn't mean that our feelings are matching up with fully his emotional makeup. It's like, whoa. Okay, wait a minute here. If I feel this way, if I feel agitated, surely he's feeling agitated. Maybe not. Maybe there's something that he might be feeling, but it might be very different from what we're feeling. So we need to understand what makes him tick. So that when we say, oh yes, I want the Father's love, I want the Father's revelation, I want to really know Papa, that we are understanding what he's saying about that. He says, I want you to understand how I think, what I feel, and how I act. That's kingdom. That's how I do kingdom. And that's what I would like to do. So I said to my Papa today, not my natural Papa, but the Lord, I said, Lord, I just want to understand more about your emotional makeup and your heart. What's that look like? We call it the heart. And we know what that means. Oh, my heart hurts. My heart aches. Don't you know what my heart is feeling and thinking? And we want so badly to be understood, don't we? By everybody. And God. Just understand me, will you? I do. No, I just want to be understood. I do understand you. No, you don't understand. Yes, I actually do. But I want to move you in a direction, in a place where those feelings and emotions will actually take on the form of what I am and who I am. Now, that's a safe place to be. That's a really good place to be. There's a scripture. Beth, if you don't mind, if you can put Hosea up there. It's a very good scripture I was looking at and reading, and I think it's one that we might want to consider. This is Hosea 2:16. You might want to write this down, lovely ones, if you are taking notes as students of the Word and of the Spirit of God. It will come about in that day, declares the Lord, that you will call me Ishi and no longer call me Bali. You know what that means? Look it up in your Bible and see what you can find. Some of you have NIV. Some of you have, is this NASB? This is the NASB one, okay. Some of you have King James. Some of you have the Message. What do you see? Because if you don't know what this means, it doesn't do you any good. Who has a word for Ishi with a capital M? Do you have your Bibles? Can you do that? What do you have, Becca? Okay. What version do you have?
NLT.
You have New Living Translation? Okay. Anybody else have something different? Husband and Master. Marita, what do you have? Okay. Master or Baal. Anybody else have a different version? Nobody else? Who has King James? Does it say this in King James? Or is there something else? What do you have, darling?
A phone.
Oh, okay. Anybody? What do you have, Mike?
Bali is Lord.
Lord. Okay. Anybody else have a different one? Different aspects of the name of God that is mentioned here, these names of God that are mentioned here, all have one thing in common, that there will come a day where we will call him and know him as husband. In other words, we will know Jesus Christ. It's prophetic. We will know him as our husband. We will feel him as our husband. We will experience him as our husband. Not just how we connect with God right now. Maybe it's Lord, maybe it's Master, maybe it's Savior. All of those things are true, and we don't pull back from them. But the Lord is saying, there's something deeper that I want to reveal to you. I want you to know that there's coming a day when you will know me as husband. Now, all of you husbands and fathers in here, that might seem a little weird. Mm-hmm. And to wrap your arms around that would only be able to be done by God himself. But you see, this is a message that's genderless. This is a message that crosses over the gender line. This is for males, this is for females. So we are all going to be able to know him and call him and relate to him as husband. Now that may sound even more difficult for males, as Mike indicated. And it's not new to this house that we've talked about the bridal revelation of Jesus. That's not new. But if we don't have the bridal revelation, if we don't understand what that is, if we aren't walking in what that scripture says that is, as us being the bride of Christ, us being part of the bride of Christ, then we will not have that, oh, that's the connecting point with me and for me. So there comes a day, there will come about in that day, Hosea 2:16, that we will be able to say, not just my papa, my daddy, but my husband, Jesus. And I understand that I am a bride making herself ready. I am beginning to do that. I'm understanding that. And I believe that this is a key for these last days, and that there will be such an overwhelming sense of the revelation power the Spirit of revelation brings, that as we yield ourselves, that means we open ourselves up to God. And we say, I don't get that. I don't feel that. But your Bible says it. So what is that? And I want it. And I want to know what that is. I want to know who you are that way. And if I'm hearing that it's going to unlock something in me, it's going to carry me into my destiny and start unlocking doors for me. Some of us have actually been in the place where, oh, I don't feel like I'm successful. I don't feel like I can get breakthrough. I feel like I do this, but I can't get past. I just can't get over. I've heard these things. I've had people tell me these things. I come to church and I worship some of the same songs. Okay, it's nice. I feel nice and fuzzy at that moment. But I just am not able to step into that continuous, you're my husband. I don't even know I had to do that. We don't have to do anything, but God is saying, it's time. It's time for a deeper revelation that only comes from the Spirit of God for whom we are called to be part of, and what God says is my inheritance. And my inheritance is, I am going to walk tall, carry a big stick, tell other people about Jesus. But if it's not coming through that romantic relationship between a husband and a wife, the way it's supposed to be, the godly way it's supposed to be, not with the world breathing in and going, do this, do that, try this, try that. That's what true freedom is. The Lord says, the way that I bring husband and wife together, the Song of Solomon that rises up in the hearts of worshipers, will bring me into a wonderful romance with my husband, whether I'm a male or female. It's like, whoa, that sounds interesting. I don't know if she has my attention yet, but maybe. Maybe there's something for me here. But I believe that God is saying, I'm stirring that up. I'm doing that all around the world. I'm raising up an army of lovers, an army of worshipers. Okay? God says, look, you want to be an army? That's great. And some of us can sign on to that. Guys can say, yeah, okay, let's be an army loving Jesus. And we're thinking of army. We're thinking of team. Army, team, together, unity. Yes, yes, yes. And then something comes to try to steal that away. Oh, believe me, it will. It has to. If we are not grounded in that deep, deep bridal revelation, of being married to Jesus in the final, in the finality of the kingdom, the way it's set up. But even now, a bride making herself ready will more than likely stumble. Like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Oh, yeah, I'll try that. Yeah, I'll be persuaded with that. Not even thinking that's happening. But that's the attempt of the enemy. Get me off my game. Well, I thought I was doing really well. Aren't I allowed to think? Can't I have an opinion? Can't I do what I want to do? And the Lord says, you know, when you are romantically tied with Jesus this way, things will change. Priorities just shift. They do. And actually, sin and different things inside of us that we can't seem to get past, or we're just figuring out, like, why isn't this working? Why isn't that working? The Lord says, this is something that is so important within our Christian walk with the Lord, that if we will say, God, Jesus, I don't understand it, but I'm going to explore you in that area. I need to know you this way. I don't. At least I don't think I do. My heart's not going, yeah, it's burning on fire with what you're saying. I got it. Oh my gosh, that is so who I am. Yes, I'm so in love with Jesus. Oh, I have that romantic connection with him. Yes, 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 yes. It's those other people. And God is saying, I'm calling for an army of laid down lovers. That's not just a quote from Heidi Baker. This is a quote from God. I'm looking for an army of people who will unite in that kind of bridal love. And that kind of bridal love will take, I shall love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength. And I will take that so seriously that I will be changed. I will be changed. Each one of you will be changed. I will be changed moment by moment, day by day, situation by situation, and I will not be governed by my circumstances. And the Lord knows how to bring us to that place of desiring, I want to see you that way. Beth, can you put the Matthew verse up for me, honey, please? Thank you. And he said to them, you shall, okay. Alrighty then, you shall, meaning I will make it happen because I'm in love with you and I love everything about you. There isn't anything about you I don't love. Everything is absolutely beautiful when I look at you, when I think of you. I'm not looking at your stumbling. I'm not looking at your falling. You might, because I'll help you see that. But keep your eyes on me and I'll take care of it. I will take care of it. What I'm telling you, that as I'm taking care of it, it will come also with the yieldness of your heart saying, oh my gosh, this is for me. You're for me. I want to be one who says, I do, I shall, all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. There's the word commandment. I was actually quoting to several people I was speaking to this week, all different situations, out of Mark 12. 30 and 31. This is the same passage. It happens to be in Matthew 22. I guess Jesus thought it was important. He says, everything can flow out of this. Everything. This commandment, it's a commandment. He says, you want to be safe? You want to be protected? You don't want to be fooled? You want to have eyes to see? You want to be discerning? You want to know how to navigate through life? This is it, right here. And then the second one says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Here's the deal. What we do, what we tend to do as human beings without the fullness, growing fullness of the bridal revelation of Jesus Christ, which I'll say over and over and over until we wonder what that is more. Okay, the bridal revelation of Jesus Christ. What we do is we go to verse 39. And we talk about loving each other, loving each other, loving each other. But the problem is that the first commandment comes first. And the second commandment comes second. And the second commandment comes out of the first. So when the first is embraced and walked through and understood and received and revealed and desired more and more and more, there will be such a change that goes on in the heart, such a deep change that will take place in our heart, that the second commandment will start to just kind of happen. It's like, oh yeah, that's what I do. That's how we can say no. That's how we can say, that's not the best. Nope, 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 nope. Instead of, what can I do? What's good for me? What are my freedoms? What can I do? all about me, 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 me. There's no me in that other than I will love my neighbor as myself. But if we start saying, I love myself, I like myself, I love myself, I love myself, I love myself, that's not a bad thing. But it needs to flow out of this. You love the Lord your God first, in fullness. And there will be a change that will take place in our lives, in our priorities, in the way we relate to people. Because the second commandment is empowered by the first. The second commandment is empowered by the first. That's why they're in order. That's why it's called first. That's why it's called second. Second commandment, empowered by the first. And so if we're really, really jumping into the first, understanding the depth of love and what this really means, then we say, oh, I'm really trying to get this revelation of how you feel and what your emotions are and what you think. Holy Spirit, Jesus, Father, come on, what makes you tick? But it's not one-sided. It's not one-sided. He says, you know what? I am everything. Jesus says this. Father says this. I am everything. And I enable you to desire the first commandment. Yes, 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 yes. I enable you to do that. I make it possible. I do this. Me, God, I do this. You shall because I am. You shall because I say. So he doesn't leave us alone. Then why aren't things working in my life? Maybe there's a disconnect somewhere. And could it be in the romantic connection? Well, I've tried X, Y, and Z. Fine. Things still aren't working. Okay? There's something God is saying to us. He's, I believe, in this day, in this hour, that he's saying, I want to be your romancer. I really do. I love you, and I want to romance you because I'm jealous for you. He is jealous for me. I saw a post on Facebook. I think Kenzie was responding to somebody. Kenzie said something about that when we were singing that song. He is jealous for me. Love like a hurricane. Float like, what is it? I'm a tree. Sorry. Sorry about that. I don't float. I'm a tree. And I do love that song. Sorry, Kenzie. You had it right. But I love that song, and it's really true, because the Lord's love is so strong. And he's saying, hey, I want you to know that I am jealous for you. I am jealous for you. You are going to understand how deep my jealousy is, and it's going to overwhelm you. It's going to overtake you. I designed you for this, because that's who I am. So therefore, you were created in my image. Therefore, it's possible. And I will see to it. I will never, ever, 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 ever ask you to do something that I don't empower you to do. I will never give you a commandment like this and not make it happen through you. All I'm looking for is that you will be willing to say, I want you. That's all I'm looking for. And I even empower you to say yes for that. Wow. And we're not robots. I don't understand this God. He's so good. He never makes mistakes. He loves us the way that we are. But he loves us so much. He knows deep down what's going to throw us off our game. He knows what's going to kick us right out of the park. And he says, quit blaming other people. Quit doing this. Quit accusing. Quit yapping your trap. You're being stupid. Not you. I'm just saying, God is saying, you're going to hurt yourself. Stop it. It's like you're stepping on your own foot. Stop it. I want you to go this direction. And this direction will turn things around. Bill Johnson calls it the spirit of stupid. It's like, oh, that makes me mad. Well, just saying. He says, follow what I'm saying up here, and we won't be going round and round and round and round in circles. God doesn't say we're stupid. Exactly. So he just wants us to be helped. He loves us so much. Truly. If you could put up 2 Corinthians 11:2, Beth, please. I love this. I'm so charged this morning. Oh, Lord, love this. This is so wonderful. This is Paul saying, for I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. Now, this is Paul talking, but he's also representing Jesus. For I betrothed you to one husband, so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. So what's up with this? This is an evangelistic thrust from a great father in the faith, saying, I betrothed you to one husband. So he's seeing people who don't know Jesus, who need to know Jesus, who have their sins washed and either cleansed in the blood of Jesus, and they're going to go to heaven someday. Yeah, it's true. I love you with an everlasting love, right, Nick? Okay, you see that. But he says, for I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy, and I betrothed you to one husband. So he's thinking of himself. Missionaries going to Mozambique. Hello? I got her attention? A few others? Okay. This is what Paul is saying. Here's my missionary cry. How about that? I want you to feel and think and be able to understand how my role, your role, all of our roles, is to be thinking of those who are not betrothed or feeling as though they're connected. So the betrothal, the connection of the bride and groom is on God's heart. And he's saying, you can't even think that way. It'll be Jesus died for your sin. You want to know Jesus? That's fine. That's good. It's true. But there's a whole other side of Jesus. And he's saying, if you understand, receive this inside, things will change. Things will change in the city. Things will change at your workplace. Things will change on the mission field. Things will change in your home. Things will change with your friends. Friends will not lead. This bridal romance will lead you. And you'll be able to say, I don't think so now. Yeah. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband, so that to Christ I might present you as a pure, spotless, unadulterated, I'm adding, virgin. That's my job. So, we cannot impart what we don't have. So, if you're in business and you're working in the workplace and you've got all kinds of people around you, there's probably a whole bunch of pressure. Because most people, or many people in Christianity today, don't have this revelation yet. But if you carry that revelation, you will be one who will be so charged, so full of love and joy and romance, that will squeak out of you, and people will be drawn to you, rather than you just kind of hanging. You will become the influencer, which is what God says. I want you to be the influencer, the romance influencer. That's your job. But I make your job able to happen, because that's who I am. So if you're romanced by me and you're just really connecting romantically with me, yes, guys, wow, there's such a change that takes place in the heart. But notice Paul. These are our marching orders. He's saying, do you understand how much pleasure that you give God? Probably not. We would probably say, oh, I'm kind of a screw-up. You know, I've done this and this and this and this and this. If he only knew my past, well, he does. But he says he loves us where we are. But he says, I love you so much, I want you to have the revelation of me as a romancer in the midst of this. Okay? So that when we're so romantically connected with him, some of the things that used to bother us, or maybe bother us right now, we just start falling off. So wonderful. I like that deliverance plan. So if someone says you need deliverance, well, glory to God, that's wonderful. Good, let's get deliverance from whatever is going to interrupt the romantic connection I'm supposed to have that I don't feel. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, this is glorious. I said, Lord, do you want me to give this message on Father's Day? Absolutely. Because I am your Father. And your romantic connection with Jesus is really the same with me, because I am jealous for you. Let's look at Song of Solomon, another familiar passage of Scripture. Put me like a seal over your heart. We sing this all the time up here, you know, worship songs and such. And I think, you know what, let me tell you this. I think some of us are trying to figure this out, okay? Okay, listen. I think I have Father's love. Yep. I believe that I'm part of the bride of Christ. Yep. And I believe brides can wear combat boots because we're in a war. Yep. You kind of go down this litany of things within the Christian faith of what I agree to or agree with. But there's something that God is saying I can only impart as you understand some of these truths, maybe with your mind. But I can impart the fire that's going to connect my love that contains everything that you've been hearing and much more. I'm going to impart that fire and seal you with that kind of love that will become so encompassing that it will just flow out of you and you can't help it. And it will be tried, it will be tested, and there will be people who come up to you and they'll say, I love you, bam, and you too, wow, okay. Or someone who might come up and say, you're really special, boom, take that one. Oh yeah, wow. And there might be all kinds of things that come our way, and they're not fun, and they're not funny. And they're really happening and they're really true. But the Lord says, in the midst of anything that's going on in this world, that romantic, yes, enables us not just to breathe and tread water, but enables us to go back into the deep end and say, come on, Lord, increase that revelation for me, for this house, for my family, for my friends, at my workplace. Let me experience that kind of love, romantic connection with you, because you've designed me for that. And I will be. I just won't sing about being a fiery warrior who's romantically tied with you. I will actually become that. And that's becoming the message that transcends everything. And that's where true discerning of spirits comes in. You want to know what's going on? You want to really get the heart of the Father? You really want to spend time hearing from what heaven's courts are saying? This is the only way. Because God designed it that way. He said, you know, I'm going to send you Jesus and watch what he does. And I'm going to send you Jesus so you get him and you understand why I did it, who he is, and what's going to happen as a result in your life. All you guys. See, Nikki gets to drive this home next week. This is good material, Nick. So not you. Whoever. This is what God is saying belongs to us. And he says, you know what? That's going to enable you to go up to someone who might just love you to your face and then snarl at you behind your back. That certainly happens a lot these days. And it's going to enable you to go up to that person and just love them. Love them anyway. Because you're so filled with the romantic heart of fire of Jesus Christ. And that will break barriers down. So true. So put me like a seal over your heart. Put me like a seal on your arm. You know, King David, when he was doing important things as a king, and he had papers, documents in the palace and all that, he was amazing. You know, they had this little seal deal, this little gadget that had hot wax, and then he put his little seal, kind of like what we do today when we are notary publics, but not like that. This is more important. What the king says, the decree of the king is this, bam, I seal it with my name. Well, this is the seal of love that is so much stronger than that. This is the name of the Lord. So he says, put me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm, for love is as strong as death. You know what? The day that we die, Lord willing, if Jesus comes back, that's great. We all go up in glory together. But if not, and we physically die, if that happens, which is very likely to happen, don't know when you're going, but when I'm going, there's nothing that stands in place of that. Death is big. It's like, boom, end of everything. It doesn't matter what you were doing. It doesn't matter about your job. It doesn't matter about your finances. It doesn't matter about your relationship. Nothing matters. It is what it is. It's that strong, and it is strong enough to just say, I'm in charge. How about that? Death is a big deal to God, because he looks at it differently than we do. Another story. But the Lord says, love is as strong as death. Jealousy is as severe as Sheol. Severe as any place of darkness. Love is that strong, that fierce. There's a ferocity in love. Real love. Ferocity. It's ferocious. It has power. It has strength. It has authority. It's so strong. The jealousy of God, the heart of jealousy that he has for each one of us, because he values us so much, that heart of jealousy is stronger than anything. So therefore, he will back up his word. Therefore, any boundary you want to have needs to be found in that romantic love. I'll tell you right now. Its flashes are flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord. Okay, we're talking about some heavy-duty consuming fire words here. Fire, it's like, rah, it's, oh, okay. passion, intensity, ferocity. This is how strong real love, bridal love from Jesus Christ, from the Father first, to us, can be, is, and wants to be for us. Many waters cannot quench love, the very flame of the Lord. Many waters, nothing can quench love, nor will rivers overflow it. If a man were to give all the riches of his house for love, it would be utterly despised. Interesting. What? It still does not compare to the ultimate, amazing, beyond extenuating, extraordinary, obsessive, if you will, love of the Father through Jesus expressed to us. Nothing overrides that kind of love. So God is saying, hey, how about a love strategy? Would you like one? Well, it's not what I thought. I know. But you know what? I'm bigger than what you think. I'm bigger than what your strategies are. Get your strategy from me. Get your strategy for the next step, whatever you're going to do, from me. Not from what you think makes sense or what you think might be an apparent outcome. That's still extremely religious. It's not from the commander-in-chief. You see, when you're a friend of God, you'll hear him. You will hear him, and he will speak to you. He will speak to you in many ways. Words, dreams, visions. You won't run from that. You'll run to him because he embodies many different expressions of how he wants to make his love known to us. I posted something on Facebook yesterday. I read him on Roland Baker's Facebook page. Two things that are really good. Read them. Go to my Facebook and read them. I love Roland Baker. And I said, way to go, Roland. He's a great guy. And he was just saying, in his very simple but profound way, he's trying to cut to the fact that, listen, why don't we just go after that immediacy with God and encountering bridal revelation, not using those words, bridal revelation with Jesus. He loves Jesus so much. I love talking to him about Jesus, watching him and listening to him and talking to him about Jesus. If a man were to give all the riches of his house for love, it would be utterly despised. We have a little sister and she has no breasts. What shall we do for our sister on the day when she is spoken for? We're getting into some heavy stuff here. So this is a key for how to have a good married life, which many of us have gone through aspects of this for premarital counseling. For those we've had the privilege of marrying, maybe you can remember that and go back to that, some of you. Would be good. So there is good marital. Hey, what about marriage for you and me, baby? That's important. But we're also talking about the marriage to our Lamb. We're talking about the husband and wife, spouse relationship. Okay, it's like, well, how do we get that straight? That just sounds weird. Okay, I remember hearing about this a few years ago. Well, you're hearing it again because I'm saying God is allowing us to say, where do you stand with that revelation from him? Where is that? What's your heartbeat for him in that realm? What's going on? What do you want? Do you want to hunger after him in that way? I say yes. I quoted a couple of things here from that book. It says, I am loved, I am a lover, therefore I am successful. And maybe your family's falling apart, your ministry's falling apart, your business is falling apart. You think. But listen to this. I am loved. I am a lover. Therefore, I am successful. I'm a voluntary lover of Jesus Christ. Voluntarily. Nobody says so. Nobody makes me come to church. Nobody makes me come and lay on the floor. Nobody makes me go downtown on Friday night or anything else. Okay? If you want to do those things, let it be out of the overflow of that bridal revelation, because when that's there, you can't stop. You cannot stop a person from wanting to go out and talk and share and rejoice about who Jesus is from that perspective. That is the DNA of heaven that Jesus says, I am putting in you more and more and more. And that's the very place that the enemy says, let's see if I can wipe that out. Let me snuff that out. In fact, let me just kind of draw that out where it's, you know, passion just starts to wane. It's like, okay, I'm still a good Christian. It's not a matter of being a good Christian. It's a matter of, Lord, am I in love with you? Am I in love? Can I say that? Am I romantically entwined with your heart? What does that actually mean? How will that affect my life? What is that? How are things changing? Priorities will change, as I mentioned. even aspects of our personality. Take a personality test, you won't believe it. But when we start falling in love with Jesus, we'll change. We will become better because our personalities, we don't become a whole different human. Like, oh, P&P, you know, you were my teacher back 20 years ago at Heritage Christian School, and you were crazy then. But you're crazier now. Good. That's great. So that's what an increase should be, hopefully. If it's not, that's a problem. You see? We should be increasing, and people will see that. And some will resist, and they won't like it. You know what? It's like a misunderstanding of Papa. Misunderstanding of the Father. Misunderstanding of the nature of God. Misunderstanding. They see Him a certain way, and they blame what's happened to them in the past. You know, I'm telling you what, there's a wave of power and peace that God is saying, well, you might get some prayer for some things, but it's not minimizing that. But it's saying, if that's where your focus is, you're going to miss, and the passion that maybe you once had even is stolen. It's a tactic of the enemy. So God is saying, it's time for passion to rise, real passion as a lover, real passion as a laid-down romantic one. This is so much fun. Another quote I had was, revelation of the bride will establish your masculinity. It's like, what do you mean? You're calling me not masculine? Not, I'm just saying here. It says, revelation of the bride will establish your masculinity because you were, all you males, were designed by God to be part of the bride of Christ and to fall in love with Jesus and see yourself as a worshiper. As a worshiper, I am a worshiper who's in love with Jesus Christ, and I have that revelation from heaven as I yield to Him and I pursue Him as He's drawing me to Himself. We can only pursue Him as He draws us, so He's doing that. So any resistance to that, we need to recognize and say, no, help me, Lord, pull me up. Here's my hand. Here's who I want. I want you. I want you. Because of the love in His own heart, combined with the work of the cross, Jesus enjoys me in my weakness. Really knowing this will cause me to mature. So while Jesus says, oh, I see that, you're struggling again, I see it, He still enjoys me. I give Him great pleasure somehow. And the more I realize that my life gives Him pleasure just because He loves me. He thinks I'm wonderful. And out of that assurance on the inside, and that yes in my heart, I can step out and do crazy and wild things. If I try to do that without that revelation, I will burn out. You will burn out. Some have burned out. Don't point around. Well, that's because. No. The Lord says, with a bridal revelation, wow, watch what I do in your world. Watch what I do. Hang on. It's going to be adventurous. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be what you can't even expect or imagine. I can't go overseas because, oh, come on. I can't do this because. I want to stay home because. Okay. But you know, sometimes we get into this little rut because it feels good. God just loves me the way I am, so therefore, that's what I'm going to do. And God's saying, you're missing something, perhaps. That bridal revelation of intimacy will propel you and others. This will really be the impetus behind the team approach and the unity, whatever else. I didn't have a chance, Cameron, I told you that I'd try to listen to yours and Beth's message from last Saturday, last night. And once again, I was gone last night, so I couldn't. But whatever it was on the team approach and all that. The bridal revelation needs to be behind that for that to be received. If it was given, it will increase both of them. They need that. I need that. You need that more and more and more and more. Okay? It's not just, okay, there's the bride, there's a picture of a lady in a dress, and then black combat boots. I got it. That's standard. That's a beginning. There's truth. But that's not the encounter. The encounter with the Lord. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up in just a minute and back up whatever God wants to do here. But I believe that God is saying, okay, listen, with this knowledge, with this understanding from the scriptures, you can take any of these verses and just say, that's what I want more. Here I am. I yield myself. Not I yield myself because I'm such a failure. No. He already knows that, that we have failed. But He's saying, I so want to change you in your emotional capacity. I want you to be able to go up to someone and go, I love you. Even when they've smacked you in the face. Fool, you get the privilege of having that opportunity over and over and over and over and over. But it's okay, because you want them to have the same revelation you have. God wants to unlock our emotions. He wants to unlock everything inside of us, our thinking, our emotions, the way we do kingdom. He's saying, I've got something for this new day. And this revelation comes for me. And it's not a bunch of sad sacks, not calling us that, who are just going, oh God, you're my papa, I love you. La 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 la. I mean, it's good to cry out and say, you're my papa, I love you. I'm not making fun of that. Well, the Lord is saying, come on. I am the one who hung the planets and the stars in space. I created the universe. I am the one who wants to bring a tsunami of love to your heart, wants to bring understanding. This is where division ends. This is where strife ends. This is where conflict and confusion ends. When people lay down and say, that's who I am, and I will not hold an opinion that is not submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is my bridal revealer. He is my romancer. That's it. I am not going to argue and debate. That's it. And then out of that, we can't help but obey. We want to see a scripture and go, I can't help that. I just want to obey this because I'm just so in love with Jesus. I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to do this. You made it that way. Other than that, it becomes really hard. Oh, yeah. This is fun. Fun, fun, fun. I was going to show you a picture when I was a teacher at Heritage that I took from Troy last night. I didn't put it up there. But I looked at that and went, oh, those were the days, my friend. I really thought they'd never end at that time, but they did. Let me tell you, I had a bridal revelation then, but my revelation has increased exponentially since then, and it will in the future, because God designs it that way. That's His heart. That's His nature. It only gets better and better and better and better with more fire, more love, more consuming hope. God says, listen, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Okay, well, let's do something about that. Why is hope deferred? Because of circumstances or because of what we are doing within those circumstances? God wants to change that for all of us through the revelation of this fiery type of consuming love. Yeah. Okay, starts with agreement. Why don't you come on up, worship team? This is going to be fun. I love it. The Lord says, I'm going to raise your fascination for me. I'm going to raise a fascination for me that is something that you have never, never, never dreamed of before. And I believe it's going to unlock something for each one of us. We want things that God has said. I promised that to you. Why is that not happening? Negativity of any kind will stop it. It'll be like a train going down the track. If it's in our heart, comes out of our mouth. It'll stop. Stop the continuous flow of the bridal revelation of this romantic connection with Jesus. That's why the Lord says, don't be negative. Don't. And that's what I feel, and these are the circumstances I know. But you're hurting yourself. It's like you're taking a sledgehammer and hitting yourself in the foot. Don't do it. Don't do it. Ouch, big ouch. Oh. A last couple of points. Spiritual pleasure gives us power over sin. How about that? Power over sin. This spiritual pleasure in knowing God and knowing that He pleasures over us. He sings over us, but He takes pleasure in us. He just likes us. Loves us so much. Oh, I just can't even wrap my arms around this. I know this, but I'm knowing it more. We think He calls us to be His disciples just so His cause will be promoted, never realizing His heart burns with desire for us. Okay? It's like, oh, we can sacrifice those guys. They're not really important. We've got a mission to do. Come on. That is not the heart of God. But yes, He does have a mission to accomplish. And there is coming a day. And we read it in Hosea. And the Lord says that that lover of Jesus, where we see Him with our eyes, we see His beauty, we experience Him as our greatest obsession, our tremendous obsession, our magnificent obsession. He says, that revelation, I am going to increase that. You can have that now, but I'm going to bring a wave of that as part of my glory being released over this earth. And that's coming. And the Lord is saying, reach out and grab in for the now as a forerunner. If you want to be a forerunner, it's essential. It's absolutely, absolutely unacceptable for anything else. In that, you will not be what you say. I'm a forerunner. Really? You're going this way. Or you may feel stagnant. But actually, anytime you feel stagnant, we're going this way. Because there really is no stagnancy. We're actually reversing. That's the scary part. The Lord says, this is the safe place where I'm going to reveal my heart of love to you in a new, encompassing way tonight, this morning. I'm so excited about this. Because this is the truth. And with the scripture, Matthew 20, what was it, 22 up there, or Mark 12, 30. Remember this. When you make decisions for whatever you're going to do, if it's about what you think you can do because you're studying the scripture, I can do this, I can do that, I'm safe, I'm free, this is my freedom. If the first commandment is not overtaking any of us, we can be tripped up and go, hey, and then we get into a scripture war with people. That's just not smart, because that's legalistic. It doesn't mean that the Lord doesn't give us guidelines, but we will not see what He sees. We will read words, but we will not see what He says behind the words. We want revelation for what He's saying. And He's saying, I'm looking for those who want my Nazarite burn. I'm looking for those who want my Nazarite heart. I'm looking for those who want to be set apart, who want to be forerunners, who want to be the relentless pursuers of my love because they've been captured by my heart. If that's you, more and more He's looking for that. In a body of people, in families, in churches, He's saying, you can have that if you want me that way. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what you're doing or what even you've done, what you're involved with right now. You might have addictions. You might have a secret life. You might have struggles. You might have judgments, feelings of inadequacy, negativity. Who knows? It doesn't matter. The Lord says, this trumps it. This primal revelation will trump anything at all that's been bothering us. The Lord says, just give me yourself and say yes to this. And I will come in and I will rework your thinking, because your thinking may be stuck to believe a certain way. And it will stop you. It will hinder you. And what God's glorious, beautiful plan is for each one of us. That's not His heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh. I wrote this quote down. I wanted to read it to you. It says, oh, Jesus, the icy waters of sin, bondage, and persecution can't extinguish the supernatural fire of God's love when we yield to its all-consuming power. Let's just raise our hands to the Lord in humility. Lord, I'm just offering myself to you. Lord, it's the fire of your love that seals my heart to you. Father, I just thank you that the flame of love functions as a fiery seal over my heart, Lord. And Lord, I want to understand your emotional makeup, and I want to know this type of love as one who will be tethered to you and committed to you in the great scheme of things later, who will rule and reign with you as your bride, being completely connected in the final consummation. As your warrior bride. As your warrior bride. Not just a warrior, the warrior bride who is so romantically connected with you. That type of love will overtake me right now, overwhelm me, and I will search for you that way. I will yield myself and lay myself down. I will give you everything and say, Lord, here it is. Thank you, Lord. I am doing this because I want you so much in that place. I want that revelation that can only be from impartation from you. These are the scriptures, oh God, that you put on our hearts today. But with these scriptures, oh God, I offer myself because I want to love you with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength. And then out of that overflow, I will love others as I. I love myself, because that is my identity, and I will really know my identity and not just talk about it. My identity will take root in me in such a way that others will see it, and I will worship you. I will consider myself a worship laid down lover of you. Thank you, Lord. 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 Overtake us, Lord. Overtake us right now with that love. Overtake us, Holy One. Oh, with that revelation, we cry for that. We cry for that. Just raise a stand and worship Him. I cry for more of that, Lord. Understand the love behind that. You laid down your life for me, Jesus. You went to the cross for me, Jesus, because of love. You did this, oh God, oh Father God, because you loved us so much and you loved me. And your passion is for me. Your pleasure is in me. You see me as the righteous ones who carry the robe of righteousness, Lord. Thank you for that type of love overshadowing me right now. Thank you, Lord, that I want to drink of that love and drink of the understanding behind it. Thank you, Lord. I'm willing to change by your love, the greatest power there is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's who I am. That's who my future says I am. That's who the past says I am. That's who the now says I am. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just sing to Him now. Just keep receiving. I believe His fiery love is here to burn out anything that would bring hurt or pain, to bring us into a place of seeing with new eyes, hearing with new ears, that we'll be drawn to the supernatural ways of the kingdom, drawn into the supernatural arms of our Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this Father's Day. In a good way. He's not a taskmaster. He's not a coach who say, well, that was ridiculous. Nah, he's a lover. He's your lover. Papa lover. Husband lover. But today there's a husband revelation of the marriage between us. Thank you, Lord. This is my identity. Cry out for that. Say, Lord, I want to receive this identity in a way that's understandable and exchangeable inside. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you. revelation of your bridal love and commitment to me and mine to you. I thank you, Lord, that your love is so strong. It's a seal on my heart and my arm, and it's overtaking me with a burning, consuming fire. And I thank you, Lord God, that you are relentless in pursuing me. Thank you, Lord, that my passion is stoked again in a deeper way. Lord, that I will go after you as you have drawn me to do that. Thank you for that divine connection. And thank you, Lord, that out of that preciousness of the faith that you give me to say yes to you, that I will lean into your heart and I will be increased more and more. And my identity will not be just mere words coming out of my mouth, but it will overtake me because you see me this way. Thank you, Lord, that I desire an increase for the rest of my life of this bridal revelation of what it means to be the bride of Christ. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Increased and strengthened today. Enjoy the rest of Father's Day. May I encourage you to read Song of Solomon. Many of you in here went through that strongly for many years ago. Do it again. And if it's new to you, open it up and say, Lord, I may not understand everything yet, but I will, because it's a love letter to me. And I want to know the depth of this kind of love that will catapult me into the next place that you have for me, which is a love romantic relationship that will never end. Thank you for that exhilaration. Can we just give it up?